This is the reading for May 23rd. Psalm 143. Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. Answer me, because you are loyal and good. Don't judge me, your servant, because no one alive is right before you. My enemies are chasing me. They crushed me to the ground. They made me live in darkness like those long dead. I am afraid. My courage is gone. I remember what happened long ago. I consider everything you have done. I think about all you have made. I lift my hands to you in prayer. As a dry land needs rain, I thirst for you. Lord, answer me quickly because I am getting weak. Don't turn away from me, or I will be like those who are dead. Tell me in the morning about your love, because I trust you. Show me what I should do, because my prayers go up to you. Lord, save me from my enemies. I hide in you. Teach me to do what you want, because you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. Lord, let me live so people will praise you. In your goodness, save me from my troubles. In your love, defeat my enemies. Destroy all those who trouble me, because I am your servant. 2 Samuel chapter 15. After this, Absalom got a chariot and horses for himself and 50 men to run before him. Absalom would get up early and stand near the city gate. Anyone who had a problem for the king to settle would come here. When someone came, Absalom would call out and say, "What city are you from?" The person would answer, "I'm from one of the tribes of Israel." Then Absalom would say, "Look, your claims are right, but the king has no one to listen to you." Absalom would also say, "I wish someone would make me judge in this land. Then people with problems could come to me and I could help them get justice." People would come near Absalom to bow to him. When they did, Absalom would reach out his hand and take hold of them and kiss them. Absalom did that to all the Israelites who came to King David for decisions. In this way, Absalom stole the hearts of all Israel. After 4 years, Absalom said to King David, "Please let me go to Hebron. I want to carry out my promise that I made to the Lord while I was living in Geshur in Aram. I said, if the Lord takes me back to Jerusalem, I will worship him in Hebron." The king said, "Go in peace." So Absalom went to Hebron, but he sent secret messengers through all the tribes of Israel. They told the people, "When you hear the trumpets, say this, Absalom is the king at Hebron." Absalom had invited 200 men to go with him. So they went from Jerusalem with him, but they didn't know what he was planning. While Absalom was offering sacrifices, he sent for Ahithophel, one of the people who advised David, to come from his hometown of Gilo. So Absalom's plans were working very well. More and more people began to support him. A messenger came to David saying, "The Israelites are giving their loyalty to Absalom." Then David said to all his officers who were with him in Jerusalem, "We must leave quickly. If we don't, we won't be able to get away from Absalom. We must hurry before he catches us and destroys us and kills the people of Jerusalem." The king's officers said to him, "We will do anything you say." The king set out with everyone in his house, but he left 10 slave women to take care of the palace. The king left with all his people following him, and they stopped at a house far away. All the king's servants passed by him, the Kerethites and Pelethites, all those from Gath, and the 600 men who had followed him. The king said to Ittai, a man from Gath, "Why are you also going with us? Turn back and stay with King Absalom, because you are a foreigner. This is not your homeland. You joined me only a short time ago. Should I make you wander with us when I don't even know where I'm going? Turn back and take your brothers with you. May kindness and loyalty be shown to you." But Ittai said to the king, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will stay with you, whether it means life or death." David said to Ittai, "Go, march on." So Ittai from Gath and all his people and their children marched on. All the people cried loudly as everyone passed by. King David crossed the Kidron Valley, and then all the people went on to the desert. Zadok and all the Levites with him carried the Ark of the Agreement with God. They set it down, and Abiathar offered sacrifices until all the people had left the city. The king said to Zadok, "Take the Ark of God back into the city. If the Lord is pleased with me, he will bring me back and will let me see both it and Jerusalem again. But if the Lord says he is not pleased with me, I am ready. He can do what he wants with me." The king also said to Zadok the priest, "Aren't you a seer? Go back to the city in peace and take your son Ahimaaz and Abiathar's son Jonathan with you. I will wait near the crossings into the desert until I hear from you." So Zadok and Abiathar took the Ark of God back to Jerusalem and stayed there. David went up the Mount of Olives, crying as he went. He covered his head and went barefoot. All the people with David covered their heads also and cried as they went. Someone told David, "Ahithophel is one of the people with Absalom who made secret plans against you." So David prayed, "Lord, please make Ahithophel's advice foolish." When David reached the top of the mountain where people used to worship God, Hushai the Archite came to meet him. Hushai's coat was torn, and there was dirt on his head to show how sad he was. David said to Hushai, "If you go with me, you will just be one more person for me to take care of. But if you return to the city, you can make Ahithophel's advice useless. Tell Absalom, 'I am your servant, my king. In the past I served your father, but now I will serve you. The priests Zadok and Abiathar will be with you. Tell them everything you hear in the royal palace. Zadok's son Ahimaaz and Abiathar's son Jonathan are with them. Send them to tell me everything you hear." So David's friend Hushai entered Jerusalem just as Absalom arrived. 2 Samuel chapter 16. When David had passed a short way over the top of the Mount of Olives, Ziba, Mephibosheth's servant, met him. Ziba had a row of donkeys loaded with 200 loaves of bread, 100 cakes of raisins, 100 cakes of figs, and leather bags full of wine. The king asked Ziba, "What are these things for?" Ziba answered, "The donkeys are for your family to ride. The bread and cakes of figs are for the servants to eat, and the wine is for anyone to drink who might become weak in the desert." The king asked, "Where is Mephibosheth?" Ziba answered him, "Mephibosheth is staying in Jerusalem because he thinks, 'Today the Israelites will give my father's kingdom back to me.'" Then the king said to Ziba, "All right, everything that belonged to Mephibosheth I now give to you." Ziba said, "I bow to you. I hope I will always be able to please you." As King David came to Bahurim, a man came out and cursed him. He was from Saul's family group, and his name was Shimeah, son of Gera. He threw stones at David and his officers, but the people and soldiers gathered all around David. Shimeah cursed David, saying, get out, you murderer, you troublemaker. The Lord is punishing you for the people in Saul's family you killed. You took Saul's place as king, but now the Lord has given the kingdom to your son Absalom. Now you are ruined because you are a murderer." Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said to the king, "Why should this dead dog curse you, the king? Let me go over and cut off his head." But the king answered, "This does not concern you, sons of Zeruiah. If he is cursing me because the Lord told him to, who can question him?" David also said to Abishai and all his officers, "My own son is trying to kill me. This man is a Benjamite and has more right to kill me. Leave him alone and let him curse me because the Lord told him to do this. Maybe the Lord will see my misery and repay me with something good for Shimeah's curses today." So David and his men went on down the road, but Shimeah followed on the nearby hillside. He kept cursing David and throwing stones and dirt at him. When the king and all his people arrived at the Jordan, they were very tired, so they rested there. Meanwhile, Absalom, Ahithophel, and all the Israelites arrived at Jerusalem. David's friend Hushai the Archite came to Absalom and said to him, "Long live the king, long live the king." Absalom asked, "Why are you not loyal to your friend David? Why didn't you leave Jerusalem with your friend?" Hushai said, "I belong to the one chosen by the Lord and by these people and everyone in Israel. I will stay with you. In the past, I served your father. So whom should I serve now? David's son. I will serve you as I served him." Absalom said to Ahithophel, "Tell us what we should do." Ahithophel said, "Your father left behind some of his slave women to take care of the palace. Have sexual relations with them. Then all Israel will hear that your father is your enemy, and all your people will be encouraged to give you more support." So they put up a tent for Absalom on the roof of the palace where everyone in Israel could see it. And Absalom had sexual relations with his father's slave women. At that time, people thought Ahithophel's advice was as reliable as God's own word. Both David and Absalom thought it was that reliable.
Chapter 8. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early the next morning, he returned to the temple courtyard. All the people went to him, so he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught committing adultery. They made her stand in front of everyone and asked Jesus, "Teacher, we caught this woman in the act of adultery. In his teachings, Moses ordered us to stone women like this to death. What do you say?" They asked this to test him. They wanted to find a reason to bring charges against him. Jesus bent down and used his finger to write on the ground. When they persisted in asking him questions, he straightened up and said, "The person who is sinless should be the first to throw a stone at her." Then he bent down again and continued writing on the ground. One by one, beginning with the older men, the scribes and Pharisees left. Jesus was left alone with the woman. Then Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Where did they go? Has anyone condemned you?" The woman answered, "No one, sir." Jesus said, "I don't condemn you either. Go, from now on, don't sin." Jesus spoke to the Pharisees again. He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have a life filled with light and will never live in the dark." The Pharisees said to him, "You testify on your own behalf, so your testimony isn't true." Jesus replied to them, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is true because I know where I came from and where I'm going. However, you don't know where I came from or where I'm going. You judge the way humans do. I don't judge anyone. Even if I do judge, my judgment is valid because I don't make it on my own. I make my judgment with the Father who sent me. Your own teachings say that the testimony of two people is true. I testify on my own behalf, and so does the Father who sent me." The Pharisees asked him, "Where is your Father?" Jesus replied, "You don't know me or my Father. If you knew me, you would also know my Father." Jesus spoke these words while he was teaching in the treasury area of the temple courtyard. No one arrested him, because his time had not yet come. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees again. He said, "I'm going away, and you'll look for me, but you will die because of your sin. You can't go where I'm going." Then the Jews asked, "Is he going to kill himself? Is that what he means when he says, 'You can't go where I'm going'?" Jesus said to them, "You're from below, I'm from above. You're from this world, I'm not from this world. For this reason I told you that you will die because of your sins. If you don't believe that I am the one, you'll die because of your sins." The Jews asked him, "Who did you say you are?" Jesus told them, "I am whom I said I was from the beginning. I have a lot I could say about you and a lot I could condemn you for, but the one who sent me is true. So I tell the world exactly what he has told me." The Jews didn't know that he was talking to them about the Father. So Jesus told them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you'll know that I'm the one and that I can't do anything on my own. Instead, I speak as the Father taught me. Besides, the one who sent me is with me. He hasn't left me by myself. I always do what pleases him." As Jesus was saying this, many people believed in him. So Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you live by what I say, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They replied to Jesus, "We are Abraham's descendants, and we've never been anyone's slaves. So how can you say that we will be set free?" Jesus answered them, "I can guarantee this truth. Whoever lives a sinful life is a slave to sin. A slave doesn't live in the home forever, but a son does. So if the Son sets you free, you will be absolutely free. I know that you're Abraham's descendants. However, you want to kill me because you don't like what I'm saying. What I'm saying is what I've seen in my Father's presence, but you do what you've heard from your father." The Jews replied to Jesus, "Abraham is our father." Jesus told them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do what Abraham did. I am a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God, but now you want to kill me. Abraham wouldn't have done that. You're doing what your father does." The Jews said to Jesus, "We're not illegitimate children. God is our only father." Jesus told them, "If God were your father, you would love me. After all, I'm here, and I came from God. I didn't come on my own. Instead, God sent me. Why don't you understand the language I use? Is it because you can't understand the words I use? You come from your father, the devil, and you desire to do what your father wants you to do. The devil was a murderer from the beginning. He has never been truthful. He doesn't know what the truth is. Whenever he tells a lie, he's doing what comes naturally to him. He's a liar and the father of lies. So you don't believe me because I tell the truth. Can any of you convict me of committing a sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? The person who belongs to God understands what God says. You don't understand because you don't belong to God. The Jews replied to Jesus, "Aren't we right when we say that you're a Samaritan and that you're possessed by a demon?" Jesus answered, "I'm not possessed. I honor my Father, but you dishonor me. I don't want my own glory, but there is someone who wants it, and he is the judge. I can guarantee this truth. Whoever obeys what I say will never see death." The Jews told Jesus, "Now we know that you're possessed by a demon. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. But you say, whoever does what I say will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? The prophets have also died. Who do you think you are?" Jesus said, "If I bring glory to myself, my glory is nothing. My Father is the one who gives me glory, and you say that he is your God, yet you haven't known him. However, I know him. If I would say that I didn't know him, I would be a liar like all of you. But I know him, and I do what he says. Your father Abraham was pleased to see that my day was coming. He saw it and was happy." The Jews said to Jesus, "You're not even 50 years old. How could you have seen Abraham?" Jesus told them, "I can guarantee this truth. Before Abraham was ever born, I am." Then some of the Jews picked up stones to throw at Jesus. However, Jesus was concealed, and he left the temple courtyard.